4 begins. It's Monday, April 22nd. Adam Azer, Al Melchior, Nando DeFino. Fantasy Baseball Today. You can watch our live video show. Noon Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. FantasyNews.CBSSports.com/FantasyBaseballToday. What's up, people?
Hey.
How's it going?
Hey there.
Who's excited for the Monday show? Yeah. Weekend recap.
It's good. It's fun because we get you nervous about 20 minutes in when we're only in like the second section.
I know.
That's why I enjoy it. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I was tooling with my microphone.
I thought it was somewhat of an uneventful weekend for fantasy.
Really? Because there were tons of injuries.
Yeah.
There were tons? Well,
there
was Zimmerman.
Big deal. JD Martinez.
Well, let's go with Billingsley before JD Martinez, please.
Sleeping on a hard hotel bed and getting on the DL as a result.
Why Chassin hurt his back?
That was part of the story.
Wow.
There was a pre-existing thing there that apparently the hotel bed exacerbated.
That's amazing.
Okay, well, yeah, we do have Chassin and Billingsley to discuss.
Well, Brett Anderson, that could be huge for Dan Straley.
Well, he's supposed to make his next start.
Yeah. They scratched Straley.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay, well, keep an eye on Brett Anderson.
Intrigue.
Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Put podcast or baseball podcast in the subject line. If anything, I thought Halladay and Lincecum were the two things that really stood out to me and Anthony Rendon. And Nando's aggressive bidding on Anthony Rendon.
Oh, let me guess, you put an $8 bid on him?
I didn't bid on him because I didn't see the news until after it was already too late.
What do you do on your weekends, man?
I party, you know that.
Yeah.
Well, let me do the stat of the day real quick just because I thought it was interesting. Rick Porcello, he's owned in 25% of leagues. First starting pitcher in the modern era to pitch two-thirds of an inning or fewer while allowing 9 earned runs and 9 hits. He had one of the worst starts ever. And Nando, is it Drew Smiley time?
I think so, but I mean, even if Porcello keeps doing this, it kind of is Drew Smiley time. He's pitching chunks of innings,
but
Porcello's
true.
Getting chased early.
Well, I know you like Drew Smiley, so we'll keep him on the radar.
Smiley's awesome. Everyone should jump on that train.
Well, so what stood out to you guys in terms of ad drops, roster moves, any evaluations? What did you guys think over the weekend, the big things that kind of stood out to you?
Like I said, I thought there were a lot of things, and one thing is Ryan Hannigan going on the DL.
Yeah.
And so a move that I pondered but ultimately didn't do anything about was picking up Devin Mesoraco, because he'll obviously stand to gain quite a bit of playing time there.
Yeah, had Olivo. You know what's interesting about Hannigan is a lot of those pitchers prefer Hannigan, so that could negatively affect some of the ERAs, possibly, maybe. For your Cincinnati pitchers.
Well, that is interesting. All right, so Mesoraco maybe getting a boost. Does that mean one catcher leagues, if you have a Russell Martin or somebody who's struggling, would you consider Mesoraco, or are you leaving him for two catcher leagues?
Yeah, two catcher leagues.
Yeah, with Al.
Mesoraco or John Buck?
Well, John Buck. Come on, Adam.
He hit another home run.
He's out of control.
If I had John Buck... I don't think I'd drop him.
Don't you remember how awesome he was when he gave the cab driver the tickets to the game?
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was awesome, right?
That's, you know, he gets a free pass even if he doesn't hit another home run the rest of the season, because that was so cool. But now, if I had John Buck, I don't think I'd drop him if I didn't have to, but I would start Mesoraco over him.
I understand that we have another Al haiku.
Yeah, we do. I have to.
He texted me a haiku last night.
Are you serious?
And I couldn't figure it out at first either. I'm like, what the hell is he? Oh, it's a haiku.
Hey, that was a pretty fast response. All right. So this is a follow-up. This is a sequel haiku. For those who didn't listen last week, I had a Tyler Cloyd haiku because I was excited about his impending call-up. That didn't happen. Sorry, Tyler Cloyd. 7+ ERA. Yikes. Pettibone instead.
Very good. So Pettibone is replacing Lannan in the rotation.
That is correct.
Is he worth looking at?
Not very impressive minor league numbers. I actually made in the NL only league where I have Lannan, needed a replacement, and I made a speculative pick. I didn't think it was going to be Cloyd after all. Went after Adam Morgan. Wasn't him either. So now I'm stuck with Adam Morgan.
I'm sorry, Al.
Yeah.
It happens.
But you know what? I had the opportunity to make another move and pick up Pettibone instead, and this kind of shows you how unexcited I am, because I just thought, nah, won't bother. Maybe Morgan will come up later.
How excited are you about Anthony Rendon?
Moderately excited. There's some risk involved there. I mean, what's going to happen when Zimmerman comes back? Will LaRoche be hurt by then? Will they tell LaRoche, listen, you're hurt, dude? Sorry?
Rendon is playing third base in Ryan Zimmerman's absence. Nando bid $9 on him.
I don't know why that's such a big deal.
No, it wasn't.
He could stick for a while. You know, they bring these guys. Look at Bryce Harper last year. They brought him up. They kept him up. They bring these guys up. They keep him
and
up.
And he's a big-time prospect. So is he only third base eligible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And Al, I'm sorry you're kicked out of the Podcast Points League for losing to my horrible team.
Well.
My horrible 3-0 team.
Yeah, here comes the fake humility from Al.
Third lowest amount of points in the league. You know who is also 3-0 in that league?
Bling, bling.
Yeah. Third most amount of points in the league. Good job, Nando.
Yeah, but Al lost.
That's too bad. Yeah. My season ended so early. But I think really... You're probably not going to really kick me out.
No, probably not. Now, who's a better guy to make a play for, Rendon or Gregorius? He's got two home runs, Didi.
Yeah, that's kind of fluky, I think.
I think it's very
Gregorius
fluky.
Gregorius is maybe he'll get you some average, but probably not.
Yeah, I think it's just Tuffy Rhodes revisited.
Yeah.
Nothing else? Nothing else stood out? Anything?
Oh, Joe Mahoney. Joe Mahoney's playing.
Batting cleanup.
What did we say?
No, he's batting cleanup.
Well, people were worried about Stan, but now it's Stan, Mahoney, Ruggiano. That's not a bad threesome. I mean, it's not the best in
the
world.
It's pretty bad.
Better than what they were doing before with Polanco cleanup.
Yeah.
Mahoney hammered two long foul balls this weekend.
And a warning track shot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not that excited about him.
I thought you'd be more excited about this.
Nah, I mean, I've got him in our AL only experts league. I did slide him into the DH or NL. Did I say NL? NL only experts
cheating.
League. Yeah, slid him into the DH. But again, it's just I've got a couple of injured guys, and in those deep leagues,
right?
You've just got anybody who's getting at bats. You have to play them.
Right. I know you yell at me for this all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
I'm only getting Mahoney. I'm only getting Mahoney in National League only leagues. Okay, Adam. I put it in context for you.
Thank you. Anybody keeping Alan Webster on their radar? Pitching prospect for the Red Sox actually got sent down after the game, but pitched well against the Royals.
Not really.
No.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Injuries, news, and notes. We got a lot of them. Ryan Zimmerman's on the DL. He's got hamstring tightness. And we talked about Rendon, so let's talk about third base replacements. Who do you like from this list? Josh Donaldson, Unieski Betancourt, Trevor Plouffe, Placido Polanco, Juan Francisco, Chris Johnson, Greg Dobbs, Anthony Rendon.
Give me Plouffe.
Yeah, I'd go Plouffe, but with Rendon, a very close second, I think.
Who's second for you, Al?
Let's see.
He likes Josh Donaldson. Come on, Al.
You know me too well.
We've spent enough time together.
It is Josh Donaldson. I'm having a second thought because Rendon... Look, if you just need a Zimmerman replacement,
right,
and you're not necessarily worried about long term, I actually think it probably makes more sense to pick up Rendon than Donaldson, or at least it's something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, all that talk of Zimmerman playing first base because he can't throw anymore. What do you do with LaRoche? And that's the question of what happens to Rendon. So as long as they figure out a LaRoche thing, they're good.
Zimmerman, by the way, expected to miss just the minimum 15 days. Matt Harrison's going to be out longer than that, until after the All-Star break. Surgery to repair a herniated disc in his back, so it's already been Nick Tepish and Justin Grimm in that Rangers rotation. Tepish is expected to make his next start. He took a comebacker off his wrist, and Grimm pitched well yesterday. More on him later. Chad Billingsley going on the DL with an elbow injury. Don't know a timetable yet. Stephen Fife struggled at Baltimore. Who do you think replaces Billingsley long-term here?
Probably Fife.
I was going to say Fife because
he did it last year.
Capuano's on the DL. Lily's already up.
Yeah.
Do we like
Harang
Fife?
Is in Seattle.
Harang's in Seattle.
All that, boy, that pitching surplus, that disappeared quickly.
Man.
Bad luck.
That's sad.
Do we like Stephen Fife at all?
Only because now it reopens the possibility of a Barney Fife matchup. Other than that, I have no interest.
Okay, Brett Anderson left with a sprained ankle. The A's are optimistic he'll make his next start. We knew that. Travis d'Arnaud out about 2 months. Hanley Ramirez hoping to be back by the end of April. He's got a bobblehead day on April 30th, so he would like to get back before that. He has the thumb injury. Angels third baseman.
Hang up. One second.
There it is.
Watched the Dodgers-Orioles yesterday, the TBS broadcast, and some interesting discussion there because they were saying that Ramirez already is swinging the bat well. They're just worried about whether or not he can field.
Yeah.
And I think specifically throw. So, that could affect his timetable in terms of coming back, but really encouraging to hear that it's not affecting his batting.
Yeah, because that's what we get him for.
That's right.
Hanley Ramirez. Oh, we already read that. Alberto Callaspo. I got to keep crossing these out before I move on to the next one. Alberto Callaspo on the DL. Luis Jimenez, anyone?
All right, well, I might as well say it now. In Tout Wars, I told you I did not make a waiver move
right
this weekend. The one guy I thought about was Luis Jimenez.
Really?
And I just could not justify a drop of any of my current guys. This is a 15-team mixed league, so I should give you a sense of at least where I'm valuing him.
Yeah, Adam gets angry if you don't give context.
Yeah.
Can we stop with that, please?
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you. All right.
How much would you have bid? A buck?
I think I would have gone three.
Did anyone get
I didn't look. I can check that out. While
I don't
care
about anyone else's team at Tout Wars. I don't want to see what happened to me. I look for your name.
For the audience.
How are you guys doing at Tout Wars, by the way?
I don't know. I don't worry about where I am in standings until Memorial Day-ish.
You don't even look?
No, I look. I mean, I think I'm in eighth place.
Well,
but
that's the fun thing this time of year because it changes. You know, one day you look, you're in fifth. The next day you're in 14th.
Yeah, it's like plus 12 because I had a good game from someone.
But since you asked, okay, I just pulled it up. I'm in sixth. You're in 10th.
There we go.
So. Together, you guys are in eighth place.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. So team go.
Yelich Seen left Friday start. Now he's on the DL. So any interest? Oh, by the way, he threw 100 pitches. First time a Rockies pitcher threw 100 pitches in 117 starts.
Colorado's playing like the Humidor era Colorado this year so far.
Troy Tulowitzki is my early MVP.
That team is hitting.
It's your pick to click.
No matter where they play.
Yeah, I know. They're playing.
Yeah, they're
great.
Hitting on the road.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different.
Well, they're firing all cylinders. They got the whole team together for now.
Now, Chacin, by the way, I think he might be worth a DL stash because he's off to a great start. 3-0, 1.46 CRA, and two of his starts have been at home. But he's owned in 59% of leagues. But anyway, who will replace him? You know, they have some sexy names in
Drew
the minors.
Drew Pomeranz down the minors.
Could be Tyler Chatwood, too. I'm rooting for Pomeranz.
They
personally
seem to not like Pomeranz for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well,
remember last year they went off on him and he's not ready yet, he can't do this, he can't do that.
That was disappointing, but
he sucked, so.
But I haven't seen.
Sorry.
Family podcast.
He stunk. I went all David Ortiz there.
Will you clip that out when you edit it?
No, come on. Okay, Rays shortstop prospect Hak Ju Lee likely out for the year with torn ligaments in his knee. J.D. Martinez in bad moves, in troubling news for Nando's everywhere. J.D.
Yeah.
Martinez on the DL with a right knee sprain. And then Fernando Martinez came off the DL and homered. Do you like Fernando Martinez?
Not as much as J.D. Martinez, but I mean, if I needed someone in NL only to replace my J.D. Martinez.
Or maybe AL only.
That's what I meant. I can't get that.
Those Astros.
Why do they do this?
That's all right. At least I put the Marlins in the AL for no good reason other than maybe I just want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
By the way, my hypothetical $3 bid for Luis Jimenez would have been enough because Derek Van Riper got him for two.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, well.
And you would have got him for three because of the Vickery system.
Well, that's what it would have bid anyway. So,
Adam, this should be instituted in every league.
You think so?
If Al would have bid $8, he would have gotten him for three.
Right.
It's the second highest bid plus a dollar.
I'm not sure if I like that.
I like it. Because sometimes you get caught.
Yeah, I know. That's scary.
Like, I bid $8 for Travis Snyder. This guy, Patrick Davitt, bid $5, and I got Snyder for $6.
Right. But you could be like, well, I'm just going to bid $30 because nobody else is going to bid high, and then somebody bids $25 with the same thinking,
the
and
same
you get
thing,
it for $26.
Exactly. You have a $26 Travis Snyder on your hands.
All right, let's talk about Cleveland's rotation. Brett Myers is on the DL. Corey Kluber is going to take his place. Scott Kazmir was terrible. Are we ready for the Bauer Hour?
I've still got him on a lot of benches.
I do, too.
I don't know if they're going to replace Scott Kazmir, though. I don't know what the deal is with Kluber. That's my problem. If they see Kluber as better as a reliever, they don't have to stretch him out, you know, blah, blah, blah. Fine. That's a Trevor Bauer opening. Otherwise, though, they might just keep going with Kluber.
And you may have seen Andrew Cashner made a start this weekend. He made a spot start for Clayton Richard, who is sick. Dan Uggla missed Sunday's game. He hopes to play tonight. Freddie Freeman expected to be activated today. Shane Victorino missed Sunday's game with back spasms. You want to check on him. Yoenis Cespedes could take batting practice in the next few days. Eric Ibar getting close to a return. He's eligible to come off the DL Thursday. Michael Saunders looking to come off the DL later this month. The Royals recalled Will Smith. Welcome to the Will Smith puns. I hope to get those back in the mix. Carlos Ruiz, he took a pitch off his wrist, and he's going to have x-rays on his wrist. Delmon Young began a rehab assignment Sunday. Franklin Gutierrez has a hamstring injury. He cannot play back-to-back games yet and could end up on the DL. Todd Helton has missed two straight games with a strained forearm. It's been Jordan Pacheco replacing him so far.
If you could rewind this, Gutierrez and Helton hurt. Could just rewind this podcast to any date in the past.
Yeah.
Nobody would know the difference.
Hey, Tyler Colvin. If Heller goes on the DL, could we see him, Adam?
You tell me.
I don't know. He seems like the obvious choice.
Check on Zach Cozart. He's got a finger injury. Kevin Youkilis apparently is fine, expected to play tonight. And Sean Markham could start Saturday. Still out there in some leagues, Sean Markham is a guy you could pick up.
So is Delman Young.
I'm very excited to talk about Halladay and Lincecum. I want to know what you guys think about that.
Blew past that one.
Yeah.
I don't even pay attention to us anymore.
But first, I want to talk more about Delman Young. I think we really need to focus on Delman Young,
guys.
All right,
guys. Go to you. I know you get antsy.
No, but seriously, Delman Young. I know we have spoken about it a couple times. What do you guys think about him? Is he someone worth owning?
It's his first time playing at a small park. That's about it.
Is he going to get regular at-bats?
I think he will.
Yeah, I think he will.
But, no, I'm not interested.
I'm kind of interested. He's my Achilles heel, is Delman Young, every year, without fail.
Some positive signs from hitters this weekend. Ike Davis hit 2 home runs Friday. Lucas Duda did as well. Carlos Beltran, Thursday, Friday, Saturday home runs and 2 hits on Sunday. I'm putting him back in the lineup, fellas.
Tobin dropped Oscar Taveras in one of our leagues.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
A little ripple effect there, yeah.
I'm benching Dominic Brown for Carlos Beltran. I'm a little disappointed with Dominic Brown.
No, that's a good move.
I thought about cutting him, but I said, you know what? Let's pump the brakes.
They were speculating on ESPN that if he doesn't heat it up, they could send him back down.
That's the thing with Delman Young coming back. I mean, Mayberry hasn't been that bad. But Brown had a good game yesterday, so hurrah. Daniel Nava, top 20 outfielder so far. Anyone interested?
He's got a tremendous OBP.
Yeah, and because, not to harp on tout so much, but because that is an OBP league, I did make a contingency pick for him 2 weeks ago, but I got Matt Adams instead because I did.
It's not so bad, Al.
Yeah, no, I'm not regretting that. But OBP league, yeah, Nava's some guy that you should be considering.
Yeah, with Jackie Bradley out of the picture. But they put Gomes and Nava at the corners.
Gomes will hit again lefties, and Nava will probably play against righties.
Valentine last year kept saying how he loves how Nava plays the – I know this is all fiction to you, but he loves how Nava plays the Green Monster.
That is absolutely not fiction to me. You misinterpreted what I said.
I don't know. I don't remember anything you said except you made light of the fact that some people are defensive assets playing against the Green Monster.
No. I just think that Fenway Park has the smallest left field in baseball and therefore is the easiest left field to play in terms of range. And of course, yes, you have to learn how to play the monster.
Well, yeah, that's half the battle.
I don't know. I mean, it's
a quarter of the battle.
Okay, well.
But what I'm saying is they liked how Nava played left field.
Would you.
But it was a different regime.
Would you rather have Nava or Gerardo Parra?
Probably Nava.
Yeah, I would rather have Nava. Yeah.
So, bottom line, you're not like rushing out to get him in 12-team mixed leagues, Daniel Nava.
No.
He's off to a great start. Okay, Peter Borges. How about him? Nava or Borges?
Borges. I would definitely, and I think I am starting him in 12-team leagues.
He's not having a very good season yet. He's batting over 300, but has not stolen a base.
But we've seen that so many times, not just this season, but in the past, where steals could be streaky, but
right,
yeah.
Usually, guys just don't totally fall off the map in that category.
How about Mark Ellis? He's batting 311 with 7 RBIs. He is top 12 second baseman in Roto, and almost top 12 in points, barely outside. Anybody interested in Mark Ellis?
He's NL only to me.
Yeah, we've seen this from Ellis before. I mean, there's some potential there, but he always gets hurt.
Yep. Well, he had the staff of the weird
levels off.
What was the staff infection last year?
I think it was.
That serious leg injury?
Yeah.
Yeah. But a weird serious leg injury had him.
Jason Giambi drove in 5 runs Saturday. Anyone interested?
He's hitting home runs. AL only.
Okay. Emilio Bonifacio has been sitting. Drop or stash?
Stash.
I might drop him.
I just don't think that the roadblocks are over, something that they're going to.
They love Kawasaki. Kawasaki batted leadoff yesterday.
The fans love him, too.
It's jarring to me that they, I don't know. Maybe he just needed a couple years to figure out the major leagues. That's what we should be talking about. It's Kawasaki, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Ellis or Kawasaki, middle infield spot.
I would go with Kawasaki. You don't just put a guy up at leadoff and be like, here you go. Let's just see what happens. You got to have some kind of faith in him. So,
well, since I don't see myself pursuing Ellis in any leagues, I might as well give Kawasaki a shot and see what he could do.
He had some speed and batting average in Japan. Totally flamed out here, but maybe he's
didn't
reborn.
Get a real chance either. Yeah. To be fair, yeah.
I mean, apparently he's a superior defender. What happens when Jose Reyes comes back?
I think the only
back?
Thing with Bonifacio is the outfield roadblocks. They don't seem to want to put him in the infield.
Yeah, and they got ghosts lurking in the shadows.
Yeah, no, he's pretty blocked there. Hey, if Casper Wells couldn't make that outfield.
Look, we should say I would drop him in a 12-team mixed league. I wouldn't drop
Roto?
Him like NL or AL only.
Bonifacio? I also feel like Bonifacio can help you even if he's playing as a utility guy.
Yeah, he'll just get
Roto.
In and steal.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Joey Votto homered Saturday and Sunday. All the worry warts can stop worrying, hopefully. And should we drop Victor Martinez yet?
I would not.
No.
Shake it off rust. He missed the whole year.
Okay. Bullpen news. I didn't really see too much out of the bullpen, except it seems like Greg Holland really has that job in Kansas
was it
City.
His two saves that he got yesterday?
Well, Herrera's been bad.
Yeah.
He got two saves yesterday, Holland?
The doubleheader. He did the doubleheader.
Oh, he saved both of them?
Yeah.
Herrera hasn't been that good. So I know you guys have always been all about Holland, but what do you think about Jim Henderson? He's 4-for-4 in save chances.
Can't ignore that.
No, I mean, you could, but we won't.
You can do whatever you want.
See, here's the thing. Scott brought him up on a podcast a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, he's not impressive or, you know, not worth paying attention to. And I sort of just nodded in agreement, you know, didn't really argue with him. Because there was a lot more in terms of the minor league record that just wasn't that impressive. But he could just be a late bloomer, Henderson.
He went through a lot in the minors.
Yeah.
He was hurt a lot. I think he had a couple arm surgeries or out for a long amount. And I think he was a starter for a bit, too. So they're kind of tainted a little bit by those factors.
So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, when he first got the job, there were a lot of reasons to doubt him. And I don't know that I've come around on him. But yeah, he showed us some good things. Henderson's shown us some good things, both in his most recent minor league distance and as a major leaguer. I know last year he didn't hold on to the closer job for very long.
Right.
But I think the Brewers are very motivated to get Axford back. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just warming up a little bit on Henderson.
You might as well have him in the meantime. Like, I might drop Bonifacio for Henderson.
Henderson,
I'm sorry.
I'm just thinking about it. I don't think I
dropped the mic.
He did look like he was about to say something else, right? Was it just me?
I think it was just you.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
I was just sitting here thinking, you know, putting myself in that situation.
Henderson or Mujica?
I think Mujica could take that and hold it for the rest of the year. He doesn't really have an Axford looking over his shoulder.
To me, they're very similar situations because he has a Rosenthal looking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Boggs is very worrisome now at this point.
I think Boggs is out of that picture.
Yeah.
And we can't completely dismiss Jason Mott. We don't know yet.
That's true.
Right? But I've got Mott and Billingsley in the kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I guess I'll – yeah, it's tough. You know, I'll go Henderson. I just have a hunch that he's got a better shot at longer-term status as a closer than the Mujica.
Mujica went for a lot of money in our Tower Wars League this weekend.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. He went $25.
I also think Henderson will give you more strikeouts.
Yeah. I just think Mujica's like – it's like a tortoise and a hare thing with Mujica. Like, slow – he just gets it done. He'll get – I mean, it might give a hit, might give a walk, but he won't give up four runs and destroy you.
I'm sorry, guys. I am not on board with the wait and wait and wait for relief pitcher strategies.
All right. Who's waiting on relief pitchers?
Just in terms of a draft strategy, I'm not the kind of guy. I'm in five leagues, and in one of them I have just total chaos with my closers because I drafted Madsen and Mott, and I can't stand it anymore. I'm wasting so many roster spots on speculation. Other guys are there to be picked up, and I can't pick them up because I have to carry, you know, at one point I was carrying Rosenthal and Mitchell Boggs. Luckily, I mean, I've settled on Andrew Bailey right now, but I don't know. I mean, I'm the kind of guy who wants to get the Riveras, the Papelbons, you know, the Romos, guys that
But what about Kimbrel? Because that was my strategy, was be really aggressive on Kimbrel, and then if I don't get him, then wait and wait.
Oh, that's fine. I just mean, in general, the people who are like, well, you can get closers all year. But they're not as good as the other ones.
I mean, I'm making the distinction because, to me, Kimbrel was, until at the very, you know, late in spring training when Chapman joined the closer pool, he was in a class all his own. And so do you want certainty at the closer position to the degree that you would not only go early but way early and maybe spend a lot?
I don't think you have to spend a lot. But if I have three closers, I want three of them to be guys that, well, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously.
You spend a ton of money.
No.
It's like a $50 commitment if you want Papelbon, Rivera.
I don't think I'd end up with three top 10 closers, but probably three top 20. And I wouldn't be the kind of guy who just waits and waits and.
But it's your definition of top 20. I get Houston right. Street for 11. I could have gotten Axford for like 12 and Perez for 12.
I mean, there's uncertainty.
But
in
I wouldn't
the top
have taken.
10.
See, I yeah. wouldn't have taken exactly. top 20. I wouldn't have taken Axford. But
why? Oh,
because he was bad last year. Because he was bad last year. So why would I take a risk on somebody who was bad last year when I could get like Perez? I'm totally on board with you. I know you've always liked Perez.
Yeah.
And that was a guy that I targeted. And I have in two leagues. JJ Putz is I know a guy that you liked. Mm-hmm. And you know those are the guys I like to get. The Putzes and the Perezes. You don't have to spend that much on them.
But you just said you wanted Rivera and Papelbon.
At least one. I'm sorry. I don't mean. I'm just not going to be the guy who's like, well, I can get closers whenever.
Why don't you make a trade? Because someone in the league thinks like that who maybe owns Rivera.
I'm set now.
Oh, yeah, with Andrew Bailey?
Well, I have Madsen coming off the DL, so it's like Jansen, whoever.
Madsen might not be good until 4th of July, All-Star break.
I'll keep Bailey.
If then.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. I know I haven't really articulated this point very well.
No, you've done a fine job.
I think some people are fine just playing the waiver wire and picking up the Jim Hendersons of the world, but I just don't like playing that game. I'd rather go into my season with two or three guys that I feel like are going to have the job, are going to have some leeway if they struggle.
All right, but you did that with Mott, and Mott got hurt. And
yeah,
blew up
obviously.
In your face.
Yeah, I mean, can't do anything about that.
Yeah, that's the risk that you inherit when you do that with a closer who's... They can tend to be more volatile, and they can tend to get hurt and ruin an entire category.
But even if Mott had struggled, he would have kept the job.
Yeah, but he's hurt.
I know he's hurt.
I'm saying you. But Mott, I like taking. I would consider Mott elite-ish, top 12.
Yeah, he was
this year.
Absolutely.
I think I had him round fifth actually.
Yeah, so that's the risk you take.
I would never be the guy who'd be like, "Well, I'm going to take Cishek, Parnell, and Veras." Like, I just wouldn't do that.
All right.
And some people would.
Yeah, that's not me either.
Hey, by the way, can we speed this up? With your rants?
All right. If you saw Tommy Hunter get a save, you can ignore that. And Wilton Lopez blew a save Sunday.
Don't ignore Tommy Hunter, because in the future, he could be the next guy in line.
Okay. Well, you can ignore it for now.
A lot of strikeouts out of the bullpen.
I'm going to ignore it. Rafael Betancourt.
This year's Wade Davis.
He's throwing 3 miles an hour more than he has as a starter. I'm sorry, Adam.
Rafael Betancourt was not available. And the standouts. All right, let's get to the fun stuff now. The starting pitchers. The standouts, part one, standing out. I did not do well with the titles this go-around. But I did want to talk about Roy Halladay and Tim Lincecum. I don't want to give any more opinions on Roy Halladay and Tim Lincecum. I will leave that to you guys. They both had good starts. Halladay said his mechanics were better, and watching it, there's no question his mechanics were better. He looked completely different than he did in those first few starts.
That's only 5% of what was bothering him, too.
Well, right. What do you guys think about Halladay first?
No, I'm encouraged, and I was when Halladay made those statements to the media about it being in his head, and it wasn't all that much mechanical, and I'm very encouraged by this.
I got to say I'm encouraged, too. I'm happy.
Lincecum, I'm still a little skeptical. I mean, he gets the Padres again this week, I think. I think at Petco.
I'm going to get Andrea Malice on our show this week.
Why?
The sports astrologer. Because there's some merit to what she says, I think. And look, all right, even if you don't believe in astrology, which a lot of us may not, there's still something to say that maybe Lincecum does. And maybe he thinks, well, now my Gemini is in Saturn, and I'm supposed to be good.
Come on, dude.
Adam, I'm saying there's merit. Fine, if you believe it, A. If you don't, B, maybe Lincecum does, and maybe that's motivating him and say, all right, now I'm going to do well.
That's such a – I mean, that maybe he has trouble at home, and he hasn't been able to concentrate. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe he didn't tie his shoes correctly.
We don't have any answers, but maybe
– I have an answer.
What?
First inning, he's throwing 92 miles per hour.
Yep.
Second inning, he's throwing 91 to 92. Third inning, he's throwing 90 to 91. By the fourth and fifth inning, he's barely hitting 90 miles per hour on the fastball. He still is walking a lot of guys.
Two?
Yeah, not in this start.
No, but his control wasn't that good.
His whip was
14
below
walks
one.
And 22 and two-thirds. No, he had a good start. He really did have a good start. But, I mean, I've said it time and time again with Lincecum. It's like you keep looking for answers. It's clear he just doesn't have the same fastball he used to have.
But why doesn't he have the same fastball?
I don't know, but
that's
it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with
say he
has nothing to do where
fastball.
Saturn is. It has nothing to do where Saturn
you
is.
You can't say that for sure.
I can say that with
I'm not
certainty.
Going to be the one who defends.
I'm not going to be the one who says there's one pitcher in the entire major leagues that is affected by astrology.
They all
and
are.
It's no, Tim Lincecum because Andrea Malice said that. I'm just I mean,
Andrea Malice is she's a Giants fan. She knows the Giants really well. She knows the A's. She's from the Bay Area. I've used her for interviews so many times throughout my career, and she's awesome.
I don't want to trash her because she's very nice.
She's very nice.
She came on our show, but I just don't believe the explanation.
But I'm saying if Lincecum believes what she's saying, then maybe that's inside his head and the point of motivation.
But, like, I mean,
but you don't know
do
that
we have
he believes
any
that?
Indication of that?
No, I mean, he's Tim Lincecum. Look at him. Maybe he looks like a kind of guy who believes in astrology. Barry Zito does.
You don't look like a guy who believes in astrology. But
I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying that there's some merit to what she's saying, explaining.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, we
don't know.
Lincecum
I said I do, I don't.
Padres this
week? It's not what I refer to when evaluating pitchers, but maybe I'm missing out on something.
Well, look, we have Tim Lincecum, who just totally seemed to lose his skill. And we have millions of sets of data saying these guys don't lose their skill. Maybe they're hiding an injury. Maybe they're getting older. But Lincecum didn't have either of those things last year. He just lost his fastball completely.
Yeah. Well, I think what this points to is, because I'm not a believer in astrology, but it just points to the so much we don't know about what goes on.
Right.
And what, you know, what's behind it. I mean, some of these guys are a mystery.
I'm not a believer in astrology. She's just a very good guest, and she offers some insights that a lot of people don't. I think she's got a unique insight into things. That's all.
Okay, but in terms of analyzing Tim Lincecum right now, I mean, is it fair to say that after these last two starts, you are going to start Roy Halladay? Let's start with that. Are you starting Roy Halladay?
Yes, and I'm not starting Lincecum.
And you're not starting Lincecum.
I would probably start both of them.
Lincecum has the Padres this week?
Although, yeah, I did include Lincecum in the top 70, 69. So, you know, that to me is an indication. When a guy's that low, usually you can find a better option.
Right.
But if you can't, you might be all right.
His upside just pulls at me. I'm like, come on, I'm really going to put this guy on the bench instead of, well, not Jose Quintana's not a good example right now because he got two starts, but
yeah,
somebody else. There's someone there I'm like, ah.
Well, okay, so I had Lincecum ranked 69th in my rankings. I had Miguel Gonzalez 70th.
All right.
Two-start Miguel Gonzalez.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, there's your dilemma.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's move on a little bit here. Standouts part two. These guys were outstanding. Clay Buchholz is 4-0 with an 0.90 ERA. Matt Harvey is 4-0 with a 0.93 ERA. He's awesome. But does have those 9 walks in 29 innings. Jeremy Hellickson's pitching well. 2 strong starts in a row with 14 innings and 15 strikeouts, 2 runs. Let's start with those. You know, Buchholz, Harvey, Hellickson. Maybe just Hellickson. Is there anything to say there? 80% owned?
Should be more.
You're saying Hellickson?
Hellickson, yeah. I mean, Buchholz and Harvey are obviously must starts right now.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't make a distinction between Buchholz and Hellickson necessarily, because both have succeeded in the past by sort of unconventional means, not great strikeout to walk ratios. And in Hellickson's case, sometimes gives up a lot of home runs and yet still has a low ERA.
There was a podcast you weren't on where Scott and Adam ganged up on me for liking Hellickson. Because he had a 3.02 ERA over the last 2 years. And yeah,
well, no, here's the point with Hellickson. Here's the point with Hellickson. As good as he has been in that ERA category,
yeah,
because he doesn't strike a lot of guys out, he ranks fairly low among starting pitchers. So what I was saying was last year, he was barely a top 60 starting pitcher.
Right.
That's all I was saying. It's not like he's a bad pitcher, but it's just
young.
Like you might look at his numbers and his pedigree and the hype that came around him when he came up and think that he's some lights-out fantasy pitcher, and he just isn't.
And I feel like the same could be said about Buchholz, too.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to give you the strikeouts.
So you're not buying all this production. You're not buying Buchholz as, like,
I would buy Hellickson's strikeouts before I bought Buchholz's strikeouts.
I would, too.
Okay.
And I would buy, you know, I mean, Hellickson's ERA isn't as low as Buchholz. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks Buchholz is going to be an ERA champion, much less a guy with a sub-1 ERA.
Right.
No.
So, obviously, we expect some regression. But I guess which one, you know, do I think will wind up with the better stats? Probably Buchholz by a little bit.
We had a three-way deal in one of our leagues, Buchholz for Weaver for Josh Johnson. Let that settle into your brain, Adam Azer.
Okay, that's a good one. All right, Barry Zito. Who are you guys most impressed by? Barry Zito, who has now had 4 starts this year. One of them was terrible, and 3 of them were 7 scoreless innings with 4 strikeouts. That's kind of weird. Barry Zito, Wandy Rodriguez, Urban Santana, Jorge De La Rosa.
I like Wandy.
I like Wandy, too. It's not even really a contest.
I just want to make the case for Barry Zito. I mean, he did have a 9-run start earlier this week, but it's hard to ignore 3 starts of 7 shutout innings with 4 strikeouts. 4 strikeouts is great, but okay. Al is ignoring it as we speak. So Wandy Rodriguez would be the guy there, followed by who?
Maybe De La Rosa.
I'll go with Thurman Santana.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I used to like De La Rosa a lot, but high strikeout potential. But, you know, aside from all the health issues with him, I mean, it's just never really put it all together for a long time.
True.
Santana has had a couple good years.
A couple disaster years.
Yeah.
What kind of league would you pick up Jorge De La Rosa?
National League only?
Yes.
American League only? Anyone? All right, the standouts part 3. Can you hear him? This one is for Hiram Burgos. Apparently, I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but that's what the announcers said. They said Hiram, and then
yeah, no, I think I'd be going Hiram.
My Puerto Rican neighbor at my desk, Yvonne, at my work neighbor, he's Puerto Rican, so is Hiram Burgos, and he kind of yelled at me. He's like, "It's Hiram." I'm like, "Okay." Anyway, it ruined the title for the subheading. You
Can
know?
You Hiram?
Can you? All right, Jared Parker.
Remember Hiram Boca Chica? The old ball player?
No.
Really?
No.
Look him up. He was
a
hitter.
Familiar.
Yeah. I think he was with the Orioles.
Maybe we stay with Hiram then.
No, anyway.
Jared Parker.
I wouldn't question, like, it's the Utah. Oh, your name's pronounced Nando. No, it's not. It's Nando.
Jared Parker's owned 57% of leagues, and he gave up 1 earned run and 6 1/3. So, what are you doing?
Just getting uncomfortably close to you for a little while.
Yes, you are. It's true.
Hey, buddy.
All right, Jared Parker. James McDonald.
I want to speak into your microphone.
Of those two, Jared Parker, James McDonald, Irvin Santana. Give me your top two.
Sorry, I was busy looking at Hiram or Hiram Boca Chica's baseball reference page. Take it a walk down memory lane.
Brandon Maurer.
Jared Parker, James McDonald, Irvin Santana. Give me two.
Oh, probably McDonald and Santana.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm going Parker first.
Yeah, Parker should not be owning 57% of leagues.
Parker McDonald, you think it should be higher?
Yeah.
I think 57 is pretty good.
I think if it's low, it's slightly low.
Really?
Really.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, he was terrible for the first part of the year, and he's not out of options. It's very easy to bring him down, bring Straley, who's been awesome, up.
Yeah.
He needs a couple of these good ones. It's a scary proposition.
All right, now deeper leagues. We got Burgos, Maurer, Garrett Richards, and Justin Grimm. Who do you like from that list?
I don't have the app ready, but in a vacuum, I like Grimm, but I just don't know that he's going to have the same kind of opportunity that Maurer will have. But I just think he's probably going to be better this year when he does pitch, Grimm.
Grimm? Maurer's kind of turning around, though. It's kind of nice to see.
2 good starts in a row, yeah.
Yeah, both against Texas.
That's true.
You put together the best notes ever.
Struggling studs or quasi studs. Tell me if you're worried about any of these guys. Gio Gonzalez, 2 bad ones in a row and hasn't pitched more than 6 innings yet this season. CJ Wilson, Brandon Morrow, Jaime Garcia, Tim Hudson, Cliff Lee. They struggled this weekend.
So you can't have Brandon Morrow and Brandon Morrow in adjacent.
Brandon Maurer and Brandon Morrow.
Laurie.
Yeah.
Laurie and Lowry.
Well, Gonzalez, Wilson, Morrow, Garcia, Hudson, Lee. Anyone worth mentioning here?
Wilson's been worrying me for a couple of weeks now, so that's not really getting any better.
15 walks in 24 innings for CJ Wilson.
Tell him I have bone chips. I'm just going to ask. You know, I'm going to send an email to Will Carroll when I get out of here. Can you explain this bone chips thing to me, please?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. That would be Bleacher Report's Will Carroll, injury expert. I didn't get mad.
I don't get mad. Now I'm getting mad.
We don't contextualize things for you.
Discouraging starts. The non-studs edition. So that was the studs edition. Here are the non-studs. Hyunjin Ryu, 6 innings, 5 runs at Baltimore. Josh Beckett's 0-3 with a 4.68 ERA. Jason Hamill, 2-1 with a 4.47 ERA.
I just want to thank you for putting Jaime Garcia in the studs category, the struggling studs.
It's because he's owned in 90% of leagues or more. But so is Hyunjin Ryu.
That wasn't editorializing. That was him sticking by the numbers.
Okay.
But in that case, Ryu should have been in that section too, and he wasn't. Ryu, Beckett, Hamill. Let me ask you this about these three. Would you consider dropping any of them in a standard mixed league?
Nah. Oh, wait. I take that back. Beckett, I would hold on to. Are we talking standard head-to-head points?
Anything.
Well, because it's got shallower rosters than Roto.
Then let's do Roto. Six starters or nine,
I wouldn't drop them in Roto, but in points leagues, I would consider maybe Hamill if the price was right.
I don't think I'd drop any of them, but Hamill would be the one that would be closest to untouchable for me.
Okay, fringy guys, tell me if you'd pick up any of these guys. Tommy Hansen had a runner in scoring position in each of the first five innings, but he did end up with six scoreless innings. Probably not as good as the numbers would indicate. Mark Burley, two solid starts in a row, nothing great. Bronson Arroyo, 2-1 with a 3.54 ERA. Edwin Jackson allowed five runs in six innings, but only one earned. Jeremy Guthrie was okay at Boston, and Jake Westbrook, 1-1 with a 1.25 ERA, but only eight strikeouts to 14 walks in 21 2/3. So these guys are owned in about 40-60% of leagues. Hansen, Burley, Arroyo, Jackson, Guthrie, Westbrook. Give me your top three.
Arroyo. And do I have to pick two more? Arroyo, Jackson,
Guthrie.
Burley over Guthrie. I mean, it was between those two.
They're the same pitcher, essentially. Anyway. Yeah.
Arroyo, Jackson, Burley for Al.
Tell you what, you got someone down in the deep part that I like better than all of them.
Who?
Dylan G.
I had a feeling.
Yeah?
Dylan G there. Kyle Kendricks there.
But I do. Hansen, I've heard so many bad things, and when you get traded for a middle reliever, it's never a good thing. But I do think there's a little something left maybe there. So I kind of maybe would want to take a risk with Hansen on my bench. I don't trust any of these guys to start. But if we're talking deeper leagues, I'd probably go Arroyo first. Jackson second, Hansen third.
Drop it like it's hot. Tell me if all these guys are worth dropping or if you would stash them.
It's the best subheading so far.
Ubaldo Jimenez, Brandon McCarthy, and Ivan Nova.
Drop across the board.
Yes.
And then these deep league guys.
McCarthy's my favorite of that group, though, for what that's
worth. But I actually did drop him.
Really?
This week. Yeah, so.
There you go.
Putting my.
For who?
Money where your mouth is.
Bartolo Colon.
Ah, there you go.
I can't believe you didn't already own Bartolo Colon.
Nice. Same.
Streaming option in a shallower league.
So the deep guys here own in less than 30% of leagues. I have a whole list. Instead of me going through it, just tell me who you'd be looking to add in deep formats or not so deep formats.
G. Bedard. Slowey, maybe Umber. I know he was terrible, but...
Oh, one-third of an inning, eight earned runs. That's worse than Rick Porcello.
Oh, wait, Feldman. I didn't notice he had Feldman on there. I kind of like Feldman. I'd say G. Feldman Bedard.
What about Kyle Kendrick?
Yeah. Nah, no way.
Four earned runs in 19 innings in his last three starts.
So, yeah, I'm really struggling after G. I think maybe... Bone chip aside or bone spur aside, Vance Worley still give him a shot.
Lucas Harrell, by the way, has had one start and gave up eight runs in that start, but his other three, four combined runs.
Yeah, but that's kind of what Lucas Harrell does. And that's kind of what Kyle Kendrick does.
Yes.
Okay. It's almost like Homer Bailey-ish in a way.
Oh, yeah, old Homer
Bailey. Less quality, I mean.
We are dealing with some deep league guys.
Kendrick will kill you with those horrible stretches.
Right. Which is why I'd rather have a Feldman who can at least strike a bunch of people out. Well, I guess Harrell can do that too. Kendrick really can't.
Are we ready for emails? FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Jackson from Vietnam gave us some 12-team head-to-head weekly points league haikus. All right, here we go. Kane once was able. Use him or two-start Cologne in weekly points league.
Now, we should have to answer in haiku, but I'm not up for that on a Monday morning.
Yeah, I'll just say Kane.
So I'll just say Kane.
Okay. Two more haikus for fun. Azer gets asked out by Nando to G.I. Joe. After five? No way. And one more. Al's gurgle is best, but not as good as Azer's shirt, so Nando says. It's kind of clumsy, but funny.
I don't really say... I compliment your shirts in a joking way, though.
What do you think about this one?
It looks like something you've already worn a bunch of times.
It is. Is it? Very astute.
Does that make it bad?
I don't know. No, sharp.
Thank you. Here's a question. It's Kenneth Cole. No big deal. Here's a question from Don.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd brag about that. I got this from Marshalls for $12.
I got this years ago, Nando. My mom probably bought it for me.
Probably paid like $60 for it, though.
From Don. Jason Kubel, Adam Eaton, and Will Myers are on the waiver wire in a roto league. Should I drop Bonifacio for one of them?
I'd drop Bonifacio for Eaton.
I would drop Bonifacio for Myers.
Dear Pedia, Excuse me. Peter, Olivia, and Walternet.
It's Fringe. It's a Fringe reference.
Oh, okay.
It's props for that.
Adrian in North Carolina. It's a question, he says. I'm in first by a decent margin in one of my roto leagues, but the one category I'm way behind in is steals. I just put out a trade offer of Chris Davis for Michael Bourne. Is this a good sell high target?
I think so. I like it.
I don't like that at all.
I knew you wouldn't.
Sorry.
You'd rather get more for Chris Davis?
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Davis's power is kind of slipping, but his average is... He's an average guy. I'm alone on this belief.
He's an average guy?
He's an average guy. He's someone who can hit for batting average. Look out for the pen.
Oh, my God. That was terrifying. Yeah. Wow.
That was scary for me, and I'm 3 yards away, so.
That was a heavy pen.
No, it was not a heavy pen.
You can't throw a uniball at me. It's got to be like a Bic or whatever.
Can I have my uniball back?
Yeah, we'll see. Dear Artie, Gary, and Fred, this is from Shay in Minneapolis. A little help here, Nando?
Artie Lang? Gary and Fred
Howard Stern Show? Yeah,
okay.
Jeez.
What?
You're so good at this.
How many Arties do you know? Artie Bucco and Artie Lang. That's it.
It just wouldn't occur to me.
Do you know what Artie Bucco's from?
No.
All right.
I was just wondering why Granderson is still an undroppable, but you can drop Granky and Hanley. Someone dropped Bruce in my 10-team head-to-head league, and I have the first waiver spot. It would have been nice to dump Granderson for Bruce. I don't know. Is this a response to something we said?
Yeah, because I don't think you can drop Granky or Hanley.
Yeah. Never said that.
We talked about dropping Jeter.
We never said drop Granderson.
In a 10-team head-to-head
league. Or Granky or Hanley, excuse me.
I would have dropped Granderson for Bruce.
Jay Bruce, by the way, if you guys don't know, not you two, but if you listeners don't know, is incredibly streaky. So I don't think he has a home run yet, does he?
No.
He'll hit five in a week. From Jared, 12-team head-to-head categories league. For the rest of the year, which one would you want? Bronson Arroyo, James McDonald, Gavin Floyd, Scott Diamond.
I guess it took Arroyo.
It's Arroyo again.
I have been
nice start from Scott Diamond, though.
Yeah. I've been...
Also, nice song from Neil Diamond.
Hey, that was.
That was very cool.
Did you hear the story behind that? He just walked up.
Yes.
And was like, I want to sing?
Yeah.
That's awesome. He flew in that morning from Los Angeles.
On his own dime.
That's great.
Yeah.
I am doing like the ad drop dance with James McDonald. I keep losing faith in him and then regaining faith in him. And
every morning. Look at the ad drops in your email, and you can tell who had a good game last night based on who had him picks up.
I know. I've been very...
It's amazing.
Been overreacting.
You're chasing your tail.
Way too much. But it's not like I drop good players. I just drop fringe guy for fringe guy. Alex P. says, I'm in a head-to-head standard league, and I need help picking my pitchers. Roy Halladay, Lance Lynn, Andy Pettit, Matt Cain, Tim Hudson. Which two should I pick?
I would go with Lynn and Cain.
As would I.
I didn't get a chance to talk about Lance Lynn, but watching the game on Saturday, I believe, the announcer, the Cardinals guy, made an interesting observation about Lynn. His mechanics are not fully put together, I think because he lost so much weight, and he's still trying to figure himself out. He lost like 40 pounds or something like that in the offseason. So his velocity's down a little bit, but I think mechanically he's still kind of figuring it out.
Who are you talking about last name?
Lance Lynn.
All right.
Thank you. From Casey, 12-team mixed head-to-head league. Is it time to drop Moustakas?
No.
No way.
Would you choose, this is Brian in Michigan, would you choose J.J. Hardy or as Drubal Cabrera at shortstop for the rest of the season in a 10-team league?
As Drubal for me, even though he was part of the reason I lost to you this week.
As Drubal's her right now.
Yeah.
How much did you lose to me by?
I want to say 8 points or something like that. Six, 8 points, somewhere in that range.
Because Jeremy Guthrie almost got the loss, which would have knocked 5 points off my total.
Yeah, Brandon McCarthy almost got a loss. And
that's your guy.
My guy.
But I have Guthrie, and I'm saying he pitched Sunday night.
Yeah.
And if he had lost those 5 points, it would have been like a 1 point game with Alan Craig for you still going. It was nervous. But the Royals got him off the hook. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying, because, again, I was watching that with McCarthy and one other of my starters who's escaping me right now. But, yeah, a lot hanging in the balance of their Sunday afternoon.
All right, guys, thank you very much. Fantasy Baseball Today, live noon Eastern, fantasynews.cbsports.com/fantasybaseballtoday. Call in the show at 877-627-9777.
Got a lot of calls on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Just flooded with calls. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Get in on the action.
You don't say thank you to all the callers, though. Just heads up if you call.
Yeah, I'm not a big thank you guy, you know. But I thank you in advance.
Look out with the paper. So much fun.
Okay, we're out of here. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. Thanks, everyone.